I want to back up to something you said. I mean, when we talk about turnout, even in a place like Tennessee, you know, part of the argument for the Supreme Court was in this case, was that we have seen elections in which black turnout was greater than white turnout. And as a consequence, we don't need the Voting Rights Act anymore. That was a part of the argument for why there's not racism anymore. Just to say that the Guardian, three of our reporters have gone through some previous data and pointed out the fact that that's only if you look at when Barack Obama was on the ballot. And if you game the numbers a little bit, then it looks like that. But in reality, there's actually been a dropping in black turnout since 2012, since Barack Obama left the ballot, which is to say we're already in a bit of a crisis with black voter registration. And that was while we had the Voting Rights Act. So I hear you saying, like, it's coalition building, you know, it's like telling people why democracy matters. I mean, are you concerned that, like, the key tool we had, you know, to make sure that people could in fact get registered and get to the voting booth is gone?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, we've been grappling with voter suppression in Georgia for as long as I've been involved in politics. I was a college student registering people to vote on Spelman's campus. So I've been at this for about 30 years. At first, it was just trying to convince young black people that their votes matter because they had lived through my freshman year was the Rodney King decision. So yeah. We've got to remember context. It's insufficient to simply look at, do you have the piece of paper that says you should vote? It is, does that piece of paper translate into actual change in your lived experience? And when it does not, or when you don't believe it can, people will not vote. So that's full stop. However, voter suppression is about changing the psychic belief that it's even worth the effort. Voter suppression is, can you register and stay on the rolls? Can you cast a ballot? And does that ballot get counted? And Georgia has perfected suppression of all three of those opportunities. And yet, every time they do so, we have to work a little bit harder to circumvent their behavior. The Voting Rights Act was never a perfect solution, but it was a cheat code to overwhelm voter suppression. And what they have done is say, okay, we're just going to rewrite the game. So our job is to accept that they've done so, but not that it was right for them to do so. So we have to have these conversations. We got to talk about the fact that they are cheating. That's what this is about. And this is not just cheating so Republicans can beat Democrats. This is cheating so that authoritarians can dismantle our systems so they don't have to compete ever again. And the urgency you hear in my voice is that as someone who has lived under soft authoritarianism in the South for most of my life, I know what it means when they can dilute your vote. What it means is that you don't have health care. What it means is that you don't have housing. What it means is that your lived experience is dismal, except for what you can put into it, because the government that's supposed to protect you doesn't just ignore you, it actively harms you by suppressing your wages, by making it nearly impossible for you to lift your children to the next best place. So this isn't, for me, a game of politics. This is, what lives are we expected to live? And so I need us to understand that, yes, the Voting Rights Act being gutted and hollowed out is egregious, but it cannot be a barrier to us fighting anyway. And it can sound quixotic, but it's not, because I've been a part of proving it so. We may not have gotten as far as I wanted, but look at Senator John Ossoff and Senator Raphael Warnock. Yeah. We got things done, and our responsibility is to not allow their intended psychic intent. They want us to be so dismayed and so disheartened that we think there's no solution. That's the part that I'm the most terrified of, that we start to believe that because they have done what they've done, we no longer have the ability to fight back. We do. It's just harder. It is more expensive. It will take longer. but the numbers are on our side. And that's the last thing I'll say about this. We got to remember the reason for the urgency, the reason for the speed, the reason it took less than a week for Tennessee to take advantage of the Calais decision is that they can look at demographic numbers across this country. And in 2046, this is a country that becomes majority minority.
Yeah.
They can count, and so should we.
So I am going to ask you to say one more thing on this.
Sure.
You've made a few references in this conversation to the shift in thinking from a partisan framework about this to something different, to understanding that we're talking about authoritarianism versus democracy. I am relieved to hear that framework. I have always found it very frustrating that questions about my citizenship as a Black person are so tied to a partisan conversation. I want to wrestle with this for a minute because, you are a partisan, right? Like, you are a Democrat. You have fought for the Democratic Party. You have built the Democratic Party in the South. That has been the tool for Black people, to gain political participation unquestionably, certainly in the South, for generations. And so it's a reality. At the same time, it is the thing that stands in the way of full equality as well. And it's this framing these as partisan conversations has been made it impossible or difficult, more difficult to build the kind of coalitions, that you're describing. And how do we shift that, and particularly in the South?
So for most of our lifetimes, ostensibly, we all had the same destination. We all believed in this democracy that was enshrined in our documents. We just differed by party over the route we were going to take. You know, Democrats were using Apple Maps. Republicans were using, Google Maps. All the third parties were using Waze. But we were all heading in the same direction. We all wanted the same thing. We're in a very different moment now. They want authoritarianism. There is a community of power that has the destination of authoritarianism. That is what they want. And let's be clear about what authoritarianism means. They want to strip people of their civil liberties and their freedoms. They want to concentrate power. That's economic power, political power. They want to concentrate power in the hands of a few. And they don't want to be held accountable for the fallout. That's what authoritarianism seeks. Democracy says we're going to expand access to those freedoms. Democracy says we want more people to share in power. And democracy says there has to be accountability for the misuse of that power. And so I had credit before I ran for governor. I was well known in the Georgia General Assembly for being someone who could work across the aisle. I was the Democratic leader. And yet Republicans would bring their bills to my desk. Before they dropped them in the hopper, they would say, "Can you look at this for me, leader?" Not because they thought I was going to change my ideological frame, but because they knew that I believed that ideological diversity could make us a stronger state. And more importantly, because I didn't like bad law. Because bad law hurt real people. Yeah. And so they would bring their bills to me to look at. And my Democratic colleagues and some of their Republican colleagues were like, "Why would you let her see it?" And the reality was, as a partisan, that is my secondary identity. My first identity is a patriot. I want to win. Let's be clear. I want to win. I want my value system to win. I want my team to win. But I am never going to rig the game in order to make it so. And that's what we're facing right now. And we've got to point out that they are not just rigging the game. They are not just cheating. They're kneecapping the players. They are taking out the opposition. That's not fair. That is not right. That is not American. And when we finally all come to the understanding of the destination this community intends for us, then I think we'll have more people fighting on the side of democracy. And I just say, look at what happened in Hungary. Hungary pulled it off. But we don't have 16 years to wait.
We sure do not. Stacey Abrams is, among many other things, host of the podcast Assembly Required. Thank you so much for this time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is Stateside, and we want to hear from you. If you've got follow-ups, questions, thoughts, whatever it is, send us an email or a voice memo to statesidepod@theguardian.com. And follow us on all the platforms at Stateside Podcast. Look out for new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This episode was produced by Annabelle Bacon and Monica Espitia, and it was edited by Jonathan Minhivar. Our engineer is Ivan Karayev. Our social media producer is Russell Kogan, and I am Kai Wright. Thanks for spending time with us.